a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm listening to Tim and Amanda this morning, Dave, and listening to them cover that shooting on the freeway overnight, I just, thank goodness that bullet did not hit that baby who was in the back seat of that car. Again, another shootout on, actually a shooting on 201. On 201. This took me back to last week.
Yeah, that's exactly where my mind went. As soon as I heard that there was a shooting on the freeway, I'm like, it's got to be the same person, right? I mean, is it? That's what we'll find out. 905, or we'll look into it at least. I don't know if we're actually going to find it out, but we'll look into it. It's 907. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
And here are three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown, three.
Tracking this Michigan shooting over the weekend at that school, parents charged with manslaughter. But it's their son who's accused of gunning down classmates at the high school there, killing four of them in Michigan. The prosecutor saying, hey, his parents were summoned to the school before the shooting happened and warned of their son's very odd behavior and did absolutely nothing about it.
Based on the information and evidence I have received, today I'm announcing charges against the shooter's parents, Jennifer and James Crumbly.
This is very, very strange. Very strange that the child's actions are going to, the parents will be held accountable for them. And these aren't just soft charges. These aren't small charges. These are involuntary manslaughter charges. They're being charged with murder, the deaths of these students. And it is tragic. But I want to know more. Why were these parents held accountable for the actions of the child?
Countdown.
At 9:50, going in depth on this question, is it a magic pill to alleviate the worst symptoms of COVID-19? You know, like the high fever, the trouble breathing, the stuff that's sending people to the hospitals? The FDA just green-lighted it. But I have lots of questions about it, including this. Is there a possibility it will make the anti-vaxxers even more anti-vax because they think they have this wonder drug to keep them out of the hospital? Not so fast, anti-vaxxers. It's only 50% effective.
50% efficacy, you know, that's still good, but the vaccines are much better than that. So this would be like going out into a rainstorm, leaving your umbrella at the door and putting a magazine over your head. Yes, it'll do something, but you'd rather have that full umbrella protection of the vaccine. So I'm happy to see it. We still have to make sure that we're vaccinating as many people as possible.
I think one of the biggest problems with this conversation is we always think it's an either or. It's either the vaccines or the treatment. How about everything? Like, isn't that what Joe Rogan did? He's like, I took everything. I took everything. I don't know. I just think that sometimes we make it so binary. Why can't we have the vaccines? Why can't we have the treatments as well?
Launch countdown one.
Do we have a serial freeway shooter on our hands? Did this person strike again overnight? UHP calling the newsroom overnight to tell us that at least six bullets were pumped toward a car driving on the 201 at about 3200 West. The suspect vehicle, eerily similar in my view to the suspect vehicle in last week's freeway shootings, a light-colored Jeep Grand Cherokee. It happened in the wee hours of the morning. Now, remember last week, Dave, you and I reported that four or five cars were shot at an I-5 15, just about an hour and a half south of Salt Lake City. We're going to ask Utah Highway Patrol when they call the show live in just a few minutes. Are they chasing the same shooter?
That is chilling, right? I mean, that is really chilling. When we first heard about it, it's immediately where my mind went. But are there similarities, or is this a trend? Is this a new thing that's happening?
Dave and Genovic.
The launch.
Commence.
It's another scary night on Utah's freeways. We reported it on Utah's Morning News. We're going to go in-depth right now here on the Dave and Dijanovic show. UHP troopers called the newsroom to give us a description of the car that shot at another car on the 201 about 3200 West overnight. It's a white Jeep Grand Cherokee.
The two vehicles sideswiped each other, and then upon which the other vehicle shot the victim at least six times.
Now, this is where it's a little bit different in my mind. There was an altercation. So does that change things? Is this just a coincidence that it's the same vehicle type? Or is there a person that's driving around late at night that is looking for confrontations, looking to cause trouble?
What we do know so far from Utah Patrol is the male driver was hit with shrapnel. The female passenger is okay. And then there was a baby in the back seat. Let's listen.
One round struck the right rear, or the rear passenger side door where the infant was seated, but the child was not injured.
And this is, you never know, right? I mean, when things become violent, you never know what's going on. You don't know if there's kids in the car. You don't know if the person that you're road raging against is equally angry, if they're armed. I don't understand it. I don't understand this escalation, because we have done too many stories where these things get out of control and are so dangerous. And now what we're seeing, and this is a story that we've had several examples, where people are pulling their weapon while they're in the car, and the road rage turns into a gun incident.
The trooper who called into the newsroom did tell us in a later phone call, I just want to make sure that we, our listeners, know this, that the incident started earlier in what they believe was a road rage situation. And the two cars had sideswiped each other somewhere along the route. What's not clear, to me anyway, is if this is the same Jeep Cherokee that they were telling us they were looking for in last week's incident, where several cars were shot at overnight along I-15 near between, what, like Juab in Juab County, between Nephi and Scipio. A couple of people injured in that, and several cars shot at. So we're going to get Utah Highway Patrol on the line in about 4 minutes, Dave, and we're going to ask them that question. Are they looking for the same shooter?
And part of what adds intrigue to this is not close to Scipio, right? This is not close to where that first shooting was. So it is a little strange that we're talking about, you know, really the outskirts of Utah County, and now we're talking about Utah or Salt Lake County. If this is the same person, wow, what a coincidence.
Let's ask the Utah Highway Patrol. They're calling the show in a matter of minutes.
Dave and Dijanovic.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news.
First, it was the government showdown.
It's a fake fight and a false choice.
Now a crisis over the debt ceiling.
Acting.
Genius.
Thank you.
Get the real story on Inside Sources.
All of this is so easy to prevent. Congress has to do their job.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson. All this week from 1 till 3 on KSL News Radio.
Dave and Dijanovic.
Utah's top local story. Special coverage with Dave and Dijanovic.
Well, you heard the news that broke overnight right here on Utah's Morning News with Tim and Amanda. Dave and I continuing to follow and track this story of a car and a suspect still at large. Dave, there was this shooting on 201 freeway, 3200 West. Kind of reminds me, like right around maybe Kennecott, not quite as far west as Kennecott, but that's kind of what comes to mind. There's a lot of industrial buildings out that way. Anyway, there's this red Chrysler 300 that's driving and is involved in some sort of road rage incident, according to troopers, with a light-colored Jeep Grand Cherokee. And the suspect in the Cherokee is accused of firing 6 to 7 shots at this red sedan.
And immediately my mind goes back to, I said Utah County last segment, but it was actually Juab County.
Last week. Yep.
It sounded almost identical, except for the fact that there seemed to have been an actual incident, right? Did they sideswipe each other or there was
some ahead of the bullets flying? Yes. According to troopers, there was some sort of a road rage incident. And now they're saying that this Jeep Grand Cherokee has some damage on the driver's side of it.
Okay, so now are we connecting the dots? Can we do a little bit of a rewind and learn remind us what happened last week?
So let's go back to last week when we were reporting about this shooting. The shooting, several cars shot out and shot at on I-15 in Juab County.
The Highway Patrol says a person was shooting at vehicles on I-15 and hit 4 of them early this morning in central Utah. 2 people were injured, and police are searching for the shooter. I'm KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe.
That was last week. That was our reporting last week, Dave. And then Paul Nelson of KSL News Radio followed up with a description of the vehicle that troopers and cops were looking for.
Sergeant Cameron Roden says they don't have much to work with other than the suspect vehicle is described as a light-colored, older model SUV similar to a Jeep Cherokee.
Debbie, how do you feel about coincidences?
I don't believe in them. I don't believe in them. And when we found out from the trooper this morning who called into KSL News Radio, KSL TV, to give us an update on the shooting on the 201, the description initially was an older model gray Jeep Grand Cherokee. Then he called back and said, you know, it was dark. We now have a better description of the vehicle where the shots came from. And he described it as a white or silver Jeep Grand Cherokee, which reminds me.
Sergeant Cameron Roden says they don't have much to work with other than the suspect vehicle is described as a light-colored older model SUV similar to a Jeep Cherokee.
Of last week's shooting on I-15, Utah Highway Patrol scheduled to call the show in about 2 minutes, and we're going to ask them, are they chasing the same vehicle?
I can tell you this. When it comes to SUVs, a Jeep Cherokee, I know what that looks like. Like you could name about 50 sedans, you know, whether it's a Chrysler, Buick, Ford. I would have no idea which one is a Ford and which one's a Chevy, right? But when you talk about a Jeep Cherokee, I know what that looks like. So the fact that it's not a nondescript car, it's something that is recognizable, makes it, again, very interesting to me. Very coincidental. What's weird about it is the first shooting was in Nephi, Scipio area, which is a stretch of road that's in the middle of nowhere. 201 is high traffic. Now, late at night, very few people are on the road, or at least much less.
Well, this person, at least, or persons, if it's two different vehicles and it just happens to be a coincidence, it's come pretty close to killing people.
Oh,
come pretty
outrageously
close to killing
close.
People. Last night or overnight, a bullet did not penetrate the passenger rear door. Thank goodness, because there was a child.
Their passenger side door where the infant was seated, but the child was not injured.
Joining us now from Utah Highway Patrol is Cameron Roden. And thank you so much for joining us. Are we making a stretch? I mean, these two cases seem so similar. There's a lot of similarities in them. Is UHP looking at the possibility that this is the same vehicle?
We will look in to see if there's any connections between the two. At this point in time, we have no direct evidence to actually link them together. But investigators will continue to look into it just to verify if there is any link between the two incidents.
Now, my understanding is there has not been an arrest made in last week's incident, the shootings on I-15. Has there been any arrest made in today's overnight shooting on 201?
At this time, there has not been an arrest made on either of the incidents, but investigators are still working on both of them to help us to try and identify and, again, see if there's a link between the two.
When I listen to this story, and I am so amazed that really nobody has died in these shootings, can you give us an update on how these people are doing and how close were these bullets to hitting any one of these family members?
Oh, definitely. It's very concerning for us to have any of these incidents happen on the freeway. Luckily, all of them have been minor incidents, nothing life-threatening. So we've gotten lucky there. But any information that people can give us to help us identify either one, identify the one last night, we know that we're looking for some type of like a Jeep Cherokee that'll have some driver's side damage. So if individuals observe a vehicle like that, they are encouraged to contact the Utah Highway Patrol dispatch with information.
Sergeant Cameron Roden of the Utah Highway Patrol joining us live, updating us on a shooting that happened on the freeway on the 201 about 3200 West overnight. Thankfully, no one was killed. I mean, clearly there were six or seven bullets, according to the trooper we spoke to earlier today, Sergeant Roden, that were flying from the Cherokee toward the other car. But the driver, the male driver of that other car, was hit with shrapnel. Is he doing okay, too?
Yes, luckily, nothing life-threatening on with his injuries as well. Just some shrapnel, which he was evaluated for, but nothing serious.
Do we know who started the road rage?
Investigators are still looking into that and have not reached any determination on what exactly happened prior to the shots being fired.
I want to go back a little bit to these shots that are fired, the bullets. Do bullets penetrate? Can bullets go through just the windows, or can they go through the car itself? Does it stop? I don't know. I don't know if I'm watching too many movies, but I just don't know what happens to that bullet. Does it have to go through a window to actually go through the car?
Ultimately, it does depend on where it strikes on the vehicle, but, you know, it can penetrate and go into the passenger compartment on a vehicle, depending on where it hits and what obstacles are in the path of the bullet. So there are times where it could penetrate into the vehicle.
Sergeant Roden, can you give us some insight as to what has taken this long? I mean, we still don't have a suspect in custody in the incident on I-15 in the Juab County area from a few days ago. Is there a video? Is there any witnesses who've given you a good description of this car? Because it seems like it would have been heading in one direction, and maybe you could grab some surveillance video.
Ultimately, as far as video, I'm not aware of any video that we have, surveillance video, that would link to our case specifically. But investigators have some vague descriptions of vehicles, not a lot of concrete evidence to go off of. And so we're trying to use every investigative tool and help us to determine and identify who this driver is, determine who this vehicle is that we're looking for. So we've got a lot of things that officers are still doing in the investigation, but some of it just takes time in order to process it.
Sergeant Cameron Roden, thank you so much for joining us and giving us the update on a story that just is so bizarre. This is such a bizarre story. And again, we don't know if these two stories are connected. They're still looking into this, but it is certainly a big coincidence.
This is why I run the other direction, Dave, when I see somebody being aggressive on the freeway toward me. I mean, they might be tailgating me. Maybe they've shown me the sign. You know what we're talking about.
The international sign of friendship and brotherhood.
Love. Yeah. I'll just get off the freeway. I'm not going to chance it. Now, you can't just jump off the freeway, though, at any given moment. I mean, there are exits that are designed to get. So sometimes you end up getting stuck on the freeway with people who are just out of control. I feel for this family. I don't know what started the road rage, but I would envision that nobody felt like shots were going to be fired.
Yeah, that's not the default.
But that's where my mind is starting to go more and more. Is when somebody gets angry at me on the freeway, are they packing?
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.